Yes, this is Pastor Stolz. Because of the seriousness of the virus that is going around, many churches, including ours, have canceled services for the safety of their members. Therefore, we've gone online to bring our services and the Word of God to you. Now, for our liturgy, I'm going to be using the Lutheran hymnal, page 5. Some of you may have it and would like to follow along. And we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and that by the Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given us his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. May God grant this to us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that hast taken the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, only art thou the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. And let us pray. We beseech thee, Almighty God, merciful, look upon your people, that by your great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore, both in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. The readings that I have selected, the first one, which I based my sermon on, Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law and do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So far. The Gospel, St. John chapter 8, verse 46 to 59. But which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and thou hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, but there is one that seeks the judgment. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets, they're dead? Who makest thou thyself? And then Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you, but I know him, and I keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou say, You have seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So far. At this time, we confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. My sermon, as I said before, is based upon the epistle, Galatians chapter 3, the theme which is, Christ became a curse for us. All Oftentimes, the law of God is explained only as a guide to life, and rightly so. But the fact that God still demands perfect obedience to his commandments as a prerequisite for entering heaven is sometimes overlooked. The fact that we human beings deserve eternal damnation because of our evil nature and because of our sinful lives is something that very few dare to talk about. But it's of extreme importance for every Christian to have this truth clear in their own mind, if they are to fully understand the meaning of our Savior's suffering and death. It's important to understand in order to appreciate the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided. This morning's sermon text instructs us on this matter, for our text tells us that Christ became a curse for us. Holy Scripture assures us that all people are sinners because of original sin. But our epistle points out that the actual sins that we do will also condemn us forever. The reason that God's word speaks of sin so plainly is because it is absolutely necessary for us to be aware of sin and its consequences. I'm sure that all of us at times have gone around feeling quite satisfied with ourselves. We might even compare ourselves with other people and appear in a very good light. But just because we feel less guilty than others, does that make us innocent? Does that excuse the wrong that we have done? What does our text have to say? Cursed is everyone that continues not in all these things which are written in the book of the law and do them. You see, there's the clincher. The words do them. Obedience in all things is what God demands. His word is plain. We are all cursed if we fail to do all things that he has commanded. But even more than that, if we fail to do only one thing that God has commanded, we are guilty of all his commands. You know, if you work at a bank for 20 years and always perform your duties faithfully, but then just once you embezzle $5,000, the board of directors will not excuse you. They will not say, well, there have been other people who have embezzled more, so you're really not that guilty. No. One mistake like that and you lose your job. You might even go to jail. Well, so it is with God. He doesn't say do the best you can. God's commandments are not multiple choice. God demands that we keep all his commandments, all the thou shalts and all the thou shalt nots. We are to keep them perfectly in thought, word, and deed. Have we done so? No. And since we have not done so, we cannot be saved by trying to keep the law of God. St. Paul tells us through inspiration, everyone who is involved in trying to keep the law's demands falls under a curse. And we cannot enter God's holy heaven and stand in his holy presence with the curse resting upon us. Therefore, we can conclude that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. The curse of God's law rests upon all of us. That is a punishment that God has threatened us with because of sin, and it belongs to us. And what is that punishment? Not only is it temporal death, but also eternal damnation in hell. The problem today is that so many so-called Christians and so many so-called churches no longer teach this. They say the church is good for building character. It stands for what is good, honest, and true. In other words, it's primarily a symbol. They say that the church's job is to relieve societies of misery and pain. In other words, do all these social niceties, but don't ever call people sinners and members of a cursed generation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against social niceties. But the fact that the church's job is to rescue people out of the grasp of the devil and save people from the eternal fires of hell is becoming the farthest thing from the minds of so many people today. But the thought of curse, hell, damnation, sin, rejection is basic to the Christian religion. These are the curses that you and I have deserved. And failure to understand the severity of God's curse resting upon us will result in a failure to appreciate the blessings of salvation which God has provided for us in Jesus Christ. While God cursed us and had every right to do so because of our sins, He also loved us cursed sinners, as nobody else has ever loved anyone. He truly wanted us to share eternal life with Him in heaven, and yet He had to condemn us, because God cannot condone sin. Was there any way which God could do both? Well, by human standards, no. But God, in His infinite wisdom and love, found a way. We are told Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. God found a substitute for us and cursed Him in our place. The only person who was both willing and able to be cursed in our place was God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah tells us, "The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Our Father in heaven took the mountain load of our sins off of our backs, as it were, and transferred the entire load to His very own Son. He did this not only with your sins and mine, but also with the sins of every human being of all ages, past, present, and future. That's how our Heavenly Father made Christ a curse for us. He cursed Him instead of cursing us. He treated Christ as if He had been guilty of all the evil that we have committed in thought, word, and deed. That is why Jesus Christ had to die that awful death on the cross. There He suffered the curse of sin, eternal damnation, the very tortures of the damned. Remember how Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Well, that was hell. To be completely forsaken by God, that is hell. That's what makes hell such a terrible place. No person on earth, even the rankest atheist, is ever completely forsaken by God on earth. But in hell, this dreadful separation actually becomes a reality. No wonder Jesus cried out as He did. Jesus had to suffer all those tortures if we were to be redeemed and saved. God had to punish sin. But instead of punishing us who committed the sin, He punished our substitute, His Son, Jesus Christ. That is what verse 13 means when it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." The fact that Christ was cursed by God was visibly demonstrated to the world when Christ was nailed to the cross. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." God wanted Christ to be seen as what He actually became, which was a curse. It was the cross that said to the Jews and to the entire world, Jesus was accursed. And now this curse of God becomes the greatest blessing of God. God, who was just and holy, had to curse man because of his wickedness. However, He found a substitute to bear this cross. Yes, God did both. the curse and a blessing. He cursed the human race forever by cursing his son in their place, and blessed the human race forever by removing the curse through his very same son. And just see what that cost the Father in heaven. The life of his own dear son. Was there ever a love like this? We can never comprehend this boundless love that God had for the lost sinner, the guilty and condemned sinner. Only God could love like that. Thank him for what he has done. And now that the curse has been removed, there remains one more thought that is emphasized by St. Paul, and that is, how do we obtain this blessing? Well, in verse 11 we are told that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Faith is the hand that takes and receives the blessings of God, and faith too is a gift of God. When God creates faith in our hearts, he gives us the blessings of Christ. We cannot say that we have earned them in any way, shape, or form. Faith, forgiveness, redemption, salvation, heaven, all are gifts from God. All that we can do is say, thank you, dear Lord, thank you. Yes, we should all be horrified when we think of that awful curse that God has pronounced upon us because of our sins, and we have to admit that we richly deserve it. But we should also stand amazed at the limitless love of our Heavenly Father and of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from that curse. Never shall we be able to fathom it. God does not ask us to understand and comprehend his love. All he asks is that we trust it, believe it, and he even gives us the power to do that trusting and believing. May he continue to protect our trusting and believing faith. Amen. We continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.